first from you, Michael, your take on all of this.
Well, my take on it is that it's pretty old news. In 2003, I actually read a paper on this tomb and these ossuaries at an archaeology conference. And my referent point for that paper was Lawrence Gardner's putting forth of this presumed evidence in 1996. And the material was actually discovered in 1980, so it's well over 20 years old. And it didn't excite anybody. And even when Lawrence Gardner put it forth, it pretty much died in a week. And that alone should tell us something. It tells us that there are significant reasons why scholars who were aware of this just didn't think it was anything.
Daryl, how about you?
Well, my take's very similar. I saw the actual preview of the show a couple of weeks ago and have been on a non-disclosure until the day when they had the news conference. And it is very much old news. These names are well known. They were cataloged in a very famous work out of Germany that deals with this kind of information, these kinds of names, et cetera, how frequent they are, that kind of thing. And it, you know, scholars have known about this for some time. So to have someone come along and make these claims is simply a case of taking old evidence and putting a fresh spin on a lot of stuff.
And exactly, Daryl, what are the claims?
Well, the claims are that we are dealing with a family tomb that includes the ossuary. Now, that's a bone box. What happened in first century Judea in a very small period of about 100 years was when people died, they were put in a tomb, at least the more wealthy people,
mm-hmm.
their bodies decomposed, and then after a year, their bones were put in what is called a bone box or an ossuary, and that's what was found, apparently 10 of these in one location, and the show assumes that this is a family tomb, and then there are names on several of these ossuaries, several of which overlap with names that we see associated with Jesus' family, including the name Jesus and Maria Mariamne, which is connected to Mary Magdalene, and Mary, which is being connected to Mary, the mother of Jesus. So the claim is this is a family tomb of Jesus, including the bones and remains of Jesus that were in this box. Now, in fact, what we have here is simply a first century tomb just outside of Jerusalem, which has 10 ossuaries in it. Who it belongs to and who those names connect with is exactly what's being discussed.
Okay, now why do we think, at least the group that has done this, why do they think that this indeed could contain the tomb location for Jesus and Mary Magdalene? I mean, was there anything specific in terms of names that would say to them, this has got to be it?
Exactly. There were six of these names that they have zeroed in on in particular. Well, the boxes had between them had six key names, and several of those do overlap with names associated with Jesus' family or people who knew Jesus. We've got Mary, we've got Jesus, we've got Josie, which is mentioned in Mark chapter 6. We've got yet another Mary who they have to connect to Mary Magdalene. We've got Matthew. Now, actually, if this were a family tomb, one of the questions is, what's Matthew doing in there? He's not related to anybody in the list. And then Judah, a son of Jesus, is in there as well. So we've got several names that either connect to names associated with Jesus' family or can be connected to them by the way they are put down on the box. And so the argument is, if you put six names together in a tomb like this, what are the odds of getting six of these different names all together in one location belonging to one family? Now, of course, one of the assumptions is this is a family tomb, which is actually one of the questions. And so that's the claim. Then they did DNA testing to argue that the Mary Magdalene box and the Jesus box don't have a DNA connection to one another through mitochondrial DNA, which is maternal DNA, basically. And so the argument is, well, those two people aren't related, so they must be married. Well, of course, that DNA that it doesn't match isn't surprising, because if you did my DNA, there were a whole lot of people I wouldn't match with.
Right.
The only people I would match with are my family. And then they did a patina testing, which is the dust layer, in effect, over these boxes to see that it was consistent between the various boxes. And so those are the three levels of evidence that they're bringing forward.
Mike Heiser, there were no bones found, right?
Not as far as I know, at least from Rahmani's catalog of Jewish ossuaries, which is considered the major source for collecting all this information.
So what happened to the bones? Pillaged, perhaps, or maybe never even there?
Well, I would say, since we don't know that it's the biblical Jesus, I mean, we don't have to resort to saying that they were never there, but that's a possibility because we don't know who, these ossuaries actually pertain to. It could be any number of reasons, and pillaging is one of them.
Although the fact that there's DNA residue means that there was something that was there
at
some point.
Is it possible, for a moment, if we believe in the resurrection theory and story, that what people might have witnessed 2,000 years ago might have been the soul or spirit of Jesus resurrecting, and for some reason it looked real to them, it looked physical to them? Is that possible, Daryl?
I think that's very unlikely, given, at least if we take the way the stories about the resurrection are told, that Jesus took meals, that they were startled initially by this. It wasn't something they were anticipating or expecting, that it happened to several people at once. All these things suggest a bodily resurrection, along with, and this is a very important point, the general Jewish expectation about what a resurrection is, and that is that it would include a bodily feature, granted a transformed body, but still a physical dimension. There is a very famous passage in Second Maccabees. That's an intertestamental text before the time of Jesus. It's a Jewish text in which seven sons are being mutilated as they're being martyred, and one of them holds out his hands and his tongues and basically says, "Take these because God's going to give them back to me one day," which shows you how physical they saw the resurrection as being. And Christianity inherited this view from Judaism.